Blog Talk Radio.
There it goes.
Four.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's show. We're looking at Mary and her eyes, her precious eyes. Through that lens, we are told to imitate Mary and look with her as she looks at her son during his crucifixion. I invite you to stay tuned to me and Diane as we will be talking about how you can look to Mary more closely through her holy, spotless eyes and the pain and sorrow she went through, seeing our Lord suffer so much, and how we should feel that pain as well. Diane? Hello, everyone, and thank you for calling in tonight and listening to this wonderful show that me and Diane are here to tell you about. Tonight we're talking about Mary's eyes. And throughout Lent, we are told to imitate Mary and look with her as she looks at her son during his crucifixion. We need to look to Mary more closely, through her holy, spotless eyes, and the pain and the sorrow she went through, seeing our Lord suffer so much, and how we, our Savior, we should feel that pain as well. Welcome, Diane, for co-hosting this evening. Will you start?
Hello, how are you, Seth?
I'm doing good.
All right. Could we start out with a prayer?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. As I think I said the other day, when I read the Anima Christi,
yes,
this prayer defies any description, and it goes as follows. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. blood of Christ, excuse me, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, shelter me. Never permit me to be separated from you. From the evil one, protect me. In the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever. Amen. Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So as I mentioned before, we are looking at Mary's eyes. And the thing that we want to talk about and why we're bringing this up during Lent is because we're told to imitate Mary during this time as she looks at her son going through these horrific steps in his life, being taken, being beaten, being struck, having his flesh fall out, and then having to carry a cross all the way up to where he would die. And if we look at Mary and we see through her eyes the love that a mother had, the same love that Mary has for us as her children, we need to look in Mary and say, Mary, come, be with me this Lent. So just as you were by Christ, your son, during his crucifixion, that I may now see what the Lord has really done for me. To see what the Lord has done for me. That is something very important that we sometimes forget to look at during Lent. What has the Lord done for me? And I want to refer to yesterday's gospel, and I'm just going to quote it here real quick. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. And I went to daily mass, and the Father referred to it as, you know, you're always asking God for these things, and he knows what is right for you. We, as, you know, his children always think, oh, yeah, we have the better thought. We have it all mapped out. We know what's going to happen. But in reality, he's the one that has it all mapped out. So if we go knock on someone's door, and it's supposed to be our neighbor, and someone from across town answers the door, we're going to be freaked out. We're going to say, God, you put me here for this reason. Let me use it. Right? Or for another example, I'm really wanting for this friendship to be healed, Lord. And the friendship is healed, but it takes longer than you want. Lord still answers your prayer. Another example would be you have a really bad child. He misbehaves and everything, and you pray to the Lord, Lord, oh my gosh, I don't know what you have done to my son, but he will not clean up after himself. He will not do this. He will not do this. And you pray that he will change his ways, or for you to find comfort and for him to hopefully, you know, be better around you. And you pray and you meet this person, and her son is the exact same way, and you offer comfort to each other. Your son doesn't change, but your prayer was answered. So knock, and the door shall be open to you, just as we should look to Mary's eyes and look and open up her eyes to see what the Lord has done for us. Keep that in your mind as you go through your life and through this Lenten season. What has the Lord done for me? And please, no, I'm not referring that to in a sarcastic way, saying that the Lord hasn't done anything for us. I'm referring it to, we need to examine ourselves and to see what the Lord has done for us. Diane, are you still on the line?
Yes.
What do you have to say about that? About the knock and the door shall be open and to look at Mary's eyes.
Yeah. What I would like to reflect upon is something that happened just for the last evening. And, you know, I'm just going to say, as we go through life, we don't know what's going to happen next, as we all know. Only God knows that. But prayers that's been prayed for 5 years.
Yep.
Pretty much came, it all came around. A person was very ill. I implored the intercession of St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and all saints, and they did not pass away into the next life. So I can say for sure there are saints with us every minute, our guardian angel, and etc. That's what I can say personally.
Yeah, and I just thought of something as you were talking, Diane. And you know the saying, when life gives you lemon, make lemonade. But if you put the lemons into God's hand, when you have lemons and you make zesty sauce out of it, I don't know. But it's fun. It's really what happens is we pray for something. For in this case, we pray to make lemonade, all these lemons. But God had another plan to make the zesty sauce, you know, something spicy out of the sweet lemon. And that's what I just thought of.
Yeah, seriously.
You see where I'm going with that? Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying, I'm going here, you know, we can be going through our life, we think we're just doing exactly what God wants us to do, and all of a sudden, one day, we wake up and realize we just weren't doing it. And that's
right.
Why we need our Blessed Mother, and we need the saints, and of course, we need Jesus first, but you know, because during those times, we're pretty much hopeless without, you know.
Yeah, and there's ways, and I'm sure some of our listeners are like, okay, so we said, what has the Lord done for me? And to remember that. But some other ways to look through Mary's eyes is the rosary. The rosary is basically Mary's eyes put in prayer and everything that Mary has seen. And what we do is pray the sorrowful mysteries during Lent and look at those sorrows and look what she went through and the pain of that went through her to see her son being put upon a cross, being beaten, being denied, as well as the stations of the cross. If we pray that in intercession with her, especially our women listeners, you can be better in praying the stations with Mary. And traditionally on Fridays of the church, we do pray the stations of the cross. And that is another way to go with our Lady and see what the Lord has done for us through Mary's eyes.
Amen.
And we have to look. We have to have Mary's eyes look at us. So when we look back into Mary's eyes, we can see the passion of Jesus. We can see the sorrows of Jesus. And we can see the things that the Lord has done for us. When we see the things that the Lord has done for us, and we see the passion, and we see how our Lord was treated, our lives will change. And we will now
remember
all of those things that we thought the prayer was not answered. Because it happened a different way. But when we have this connection with Mary's eyes, we will see that what really was planned and that God had mapped it out. He took our life and took a stick of clay and modeled it in his making. And so we thought we wanted lemonade, but he knew he needed the zesty sauce.
Really?
What has the Lord done for us. We're going to take a commercial break. And once we get back, we will answer your calls. And we will talk more on Mary's Eyes and some other things that I want to tell you about, including the prayer day that's coming up this Sunday for the women, children, and elderly who have been slaughtered by ISIS. Please call in at 347-989-0056.
There's a way of life where simplicity brings joy and humility leads to happiness, where we learn that less is more, and in giving, we receive. It's our refuge from chaos and light to guide us through darkness. It's a place where the broken receive healing and repentant hearts find mercy. Here, our days are set free from anxiety and addictions, and our nights rest with more peace. So, where is this hope, and who knows the way? Our hope rests in Jesus, and His church leads the way. If you're longing to fill an emptiness or seeking a way home, we invite you to experience the peace that only comes from God. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome home. If you are a convert back to the church, God bless you. If you're a fallen away Catholic and you want to come back home, go to CatholicsComeHome.org or email me. We need to get you back home. And if you're not Catholic and you're listening, I invite you to do the same. Go to CatholicsComeHome.org and there we will find our resources to bring you back home, to bring you home. Me and Diane are both converts to the church from leaving our past faith. And we know that in the Catholic Church, it has the true beauty. It has the true Christ. It has the true Lord. And that is what it takes to be a Catholic. And we need to, as well, look and to see the things that the Lord has done for us. If our faith life is not flourishing, we need to find a place to call home. And that, my friends, is the Catholic Church. Come home to Jesus this year, next year. Whatever it takes, how many rosaries we have to pray, how many Divine Mercy chaplets we have to pray, how many Precious Blood chaplets we have to pray, how many novenas we have to pray, we will bring you home. So we have our first caller on the line, and Diane, you're going to answer this call, okay?
Very good. Thank you.
You're on there.
Hi, folks. Y'all doing okay?
Very good. How are you today?
Just sipping my coffee. Just trying to stay warm, even though it looks like cotton picking Oslo, Norway outside. But anyway, nice lemonade comment, by the way, Seth. I absolutely love that. Now I want lemonade. But anyway, I also would like your perspective on this, if at all possible, but anyway, do you think it would be a requirement for large cities around the world like New York City, Toronto, Los Angeles, Boston, and et cetera, to have copies of the Roman Missal in different languages to accommodate the foreign folks of a parish or at least have a priest that has some kind of knowledge of different languages?
Excellent question. I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I would say so. Many priests now, depending on the priest, they do know some other languages. Sometimes it's rare to find a priest that knows another language or something like that. But to know a different language would help the priest reach out to the entire community. Like you said, Boston, New York, you know, I've been to New York several times. I have grandparents that live out there. And there's a lot of people. And you see people, you know, that are obviously, you know, not from here, you know. Maybe their household language is Spanish or, you know, something along the lines of that. And it's really cool, I think, when you have kind of a mixed congregation and the priest can reach out to both, you know, for an example, the English and the Spanish.
That's fascinating. The reason I ask that is because my priest, about every priest in the city I live in, is capable of speaking Spanish, and I've been trying to acquire other copies of the Roman Missal just to say I've been able to have it in a different language. I found a Chinese one a couple of weeks ago on eBay.
Yeah.
But I wasn't prepared to pay $85.
If you want to, Chase, to find one of those missiles in a different language, probably Spanish is what you're wanting. If you know of any Spanish, like religious homes,
yeah,
get a hold of their email and email them. And, you know, just tell them what's going on, and most likely they'll send you one. I've done that many times for other things. Different materials and different resources. Because if you have that missile and you bring it here in America and you have those prayers and you can reach out to other people, that's evangelization, and we will bring more people home by reaching out in different congregations, especially here in America, where it's not all that popular in the United States.
Yeah, that's very true. But Spanish isn't necessarily the only language I'm wanting. I mean, I've got a daily missal that's in Latin and English. I mean, it really doesn't matter to me what language I can get the Roman Missal in, as long as it's a different language. It doesn't matter
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. Probably the most easiest will be Latin. But if you want Spanish, like I said, go ahead and try contacting across seas. And they'll send you on. It takes, you know, about a month or so to get there. But, I mean, it'd be all the better when you have it.
Yeah, that's true. And before I go finish my coffee, I'd like to ask both of y'all to keep this very kind Swedish girl I met the other day named Simo in your prayers. She's not exactly a believer, but she's been asking me questions about the Catholic faith for, like, almost 2 days straight now. And I'm just doing my best to answer her.
Yeah, well,
she's very nice.
Our prayers. Yes, we'll keep her
yes,
in our prayers,
certainly.
Especially.
Thank you.
And I'll write her name down and remember her in the live rosary this Sunday. Okay.
What time is that live rosary? I might want to be at that.
It is Sunday evening at 7:45 is when I go live, and I. This Sunday I'll be talking about different things happening in ISIS with ISIS and everything because we're devoted on that day just, you know, pray for them and to end Christian persecution. But you have until 8:05, sometimes 8:06, to actually get on. And that is 8:06 Eastern time. So if you're, you know, I don't know where you live. But,
I live
yeah.
in Western Texas.
Oh, so it'd be 7:05? Yeah, 7:05.
Yeah, I'll try to make it. And then if there's a lot of foreign different language speakers, I'd like to engage in a different tongue.
Yeah, that'd actually be pretty cool.
Certainly.
And as well as there's a chat thing on the side that you can probably type in your prayers in. And that'd be cool if you could do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about making it Swedish because I've been incorporating the use of the Swedish language for past several days now.
It's cool.
It's fun language. It's lots of fun. Anyway, Show's great, Seth. I'll let you take other calls now. I'm going to go finish my comfort food.
Okay.
Good
Thank you, Chase. Have a blessed weekend. We always love hearing from you on the show. This
Excellent.
Has been a quick 30 minutes, hasn't it, Diane?
It most certainly has.
Oh, my goodness. Where has the time went?
I just don't know.
Well, I got to say, this Sunday at 7:45, we will begin the live rosary on YouTube. You'll find the link online, of course. And we are praying this Sunday for an end to Christian persecution because it is terrible, guys. This past week, we had 90 to 120 women, children, and elderly kidnapped and killed, beheaded, because they believed in God. And if you are a true devotee,
Hail Mary.
If you are a true Christian, you should be upset because they are taking our people, they are taking our future church and killing them one by one. And we need to pray that there will come an end to this horrific, horrific problem occurring in the Middle East. If you'd like to hear more on what's going on, we did a show a few days ago, very sad show, covering 30 minutes of what's going on in ISIS. I invite you to look at that. Another thing is tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, me and Diane will be back on the line. We will be talking about some few things, and at this moment, I forget tomorrow's topic, but I know it's a good one. We'll also be talking about what has been going on with Pope Benedict the 16th after these past 3 years after his resignation. Today marks the last general audience that Pope Benedict held as Pope, and tomorrow, the 28th, will mark the last day and resignation of Pope Benedict. And Pope Benedict is someone very close to my heart. I'm sure all of you who know me and follow my profile, you know that I'm a true Benedictine. always posting about him. And we do have to keep him in our prayers. So tomorrow we'll be focusing on Pope Benedict and his legacy. Also Pope Francis and what he has come in to do. And we'll also be talking whatever our topic is. I cannot think of it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Diane,
may I throw something in real quick, Seth?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, community of priests where we attend Holy Mass, my daughter and myself, is called Fathers of Mercy. It was founded by Father Jean-Baptiste Rozon, September 5th, 1847 is when he passed. I would like to ask you to pray for those 11 priests who go about training other priests, and for the Abbey of Gethsemane. And in the Archdiocese of Louisville, to pray for them, please, in your rosary prayers.
Will do, Diane. Thank you for calling in this evening and being with us. Look forward to hearing from you tomorrow and in the future as well. Then again, tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, we will host another blog talk radio show when we talk about Pope Benedict, Pope Francis, and whatever our topic is. See you tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. God bless you all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Weekend.